Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Now then, we're looking at Paul and Timothy, and you wonder, of all of the Bible books, Timothy and two more are the only ones that have letters specifically to them. And this is Paul that is getting to the end of his life. And these three, Timothy, Titus, and Philemon, all are ministers. And so it's like God has worked through Paul to prepare these three ministers, because he is not going to be here. Because he said, I have finished the fight, I have kept the faith, therefore is laid up for me a home with my God in heaven. And only thing that he has wanted all of this time is to get to know Jesus better and go home to be with him. So that has been everything he's done, has been his whole vision. And so then he picks up Timothy, and then we're going to talk about what he thought about Timothy. Put your finger on Antioch there. On the right, you see the Syria. Syria is the country right above where Jerusalem is. And so if you put your finger under Syria, do you see the word Antioch? Okay, Antioch is a group of believing Gentiles that Paul and Barnabas had gone to and talked to them about Jesus several years ago. I don't know how long it took them to do a missionary trip, but Paul did three missionary trips. And so when they have this foundation here of believers, Antioch is the one that sends Paul out all through Galatia and Asia Minor and lands up, you know, even in Greece and back. That was his first missionary trip. And now then, several years later, he is going to start. They have Silas and Barnabas. And Silas is one of the original people in Jerusalem that was the foundation, was there on the day of Pentecost, and help be established the groundwork where the church was established and went forth. And so there had been, Paul had gone back up in here, and everywhere he went, the Jewish people were insisting that all of the people that was coming to faith had to go through everything a Jew did, and they wanted them to be proselytes rather than Jesus followers. And they were putting on them all of the things that the Jewish people had. So Paul went back to Jerusalem and said, this is not necessary. These people are not Jews. They are going immediately to the Lord. And so only thing that they required for them was to be moral, to not eat blood, and a few things. And so he goes from Jerusalem back up to Antioch, and Antioch is where they're going to be sent back. So we get up here, and Barnabas wanted to take Mark with him. Barnabas lives in Crete. You see Crete out here in the big middle of the water? That's that. If you do like this, you'll find him right here. He's from Crete. But he's been there ever since the day of Pentecost. Barnabas is not his name, but that's who they called him because he was a helper. Everybody he went to, he went with helpers. And one of the people he wanted to help was his nephew, Mark. And Mark wanted to go on this second missionary trip. And Paul said, we tried taking him the first time, and he was young, and he couldn't handle it, and he went home. So Paul said, I'm not taking him again. So he picks up Silas. And so then they're going to go back. He said, let's go back to all of the churches that we were able to establish by the Holy Spirit and God's leading, and see how they're doing and encourage them. And maybe some of them will be strong enough that we can start selecting elders or leaders in each one of these churches. So they leave here, and they start, and they go up through Cilicia. And this is Galatia, the province here. And then they come to Lystra. Do you see I've got it circled? Okay, now that's where Timothy's family lives. And so he had brought all of these people, Jesus had brought these all to faith when we did on this first missionary trip. And so we get there, and that's where Timothy has grown up. His mother and his grandmother were Jewish. His daddy was a Greek. And he probably is just like Paul. He probably knows several languages. He probably knows Hebrew. He probably knows Greek there in the Greek-speaking world. He knows Hebrew. And so any of the people that they will be going up among here, he will be able to help Paul. And so he's grown up because of the faith of his mother, Lois, and his grandmother, Eunice, or the way around. And I think we don't know anything about his daddy except he was a Greek. But this tells me he had a good daddy, you know, that he stepped back and he let his wife and even his mother and his mother-in-law lived with him. And that they were able to teach Timothy, and he's real solid, not only in his faith in Jesus, but also the foundation of the Jewish faith. And so Paul says, I need a young helper. And he goes to these two godly women that are strong in the faith and said, I want him to go with me and be my assistant. The first time that Rob decided that he and his family would go to Greece, that's my grandchildren. Caden was 9. They had a 9 and a 11 and a 13-year-old girls. They were going to go work among the people in Greece who were fleeing every place to come in there and settle. And when you put them on a plane and you fly them off, and they're going into territory you're not aware of, and they're working among people you don't know, that's a lot of faith. It's gotten to be a habit with us now. We just say, where are you going? So there they went. Anyway, I think he was a real good man. He may have been a Christian by this time, but we don't have any foundation on what he was except proofs in the pudding. He has let this young man to grow up to be a strong believer in Jesus. He has known that when they may have even stayed in their home while they were here, because they're going back through where he had already established the church. So Lystra is where they're going to pick out, and they're going to take Timothy with them. Now then, Paul knows, you know, he had just left Jerusalem down here and had been complaining because they were expecting all of the new Christians to be circumcised. And that is a Jewish law. And so he's going back in where he's going to be dealing with the Jewish people that are already giving him trouble. And so he has Timothy circumcised. He's a grown man. It's not for his salvation. It's not that he needed it. It was that he would not be a stumbling block to the Jewish people that they would be trying to bring to Jesus and tell them this is not necessary. We know this also because one time when he's back down in Jerusalem, he has a person with him that is a Gentile, and they want to, the priest there in Jerusalem wants to circumcise him, and he said, no, this is not necessary. But anything that would hinder the gospel going forth, and the gospel is Jesus, he did not want any stumbling blocks, so that's why he has him circumcised before they leave. And so then they go up, down here we went through here, so they went from Antioch to Syria, and then in Cilicia, it says that Paul and Silas delivered a letter from the Jerusalem church, and that was to tell them they did not have to accept what the Jews were trying to teach them. They did not need to be circumcised. They were not proselyting Jews. They were bringing people to Christ. And so that was why they wanted to deliver this letter, and they wanted it to be known. What Jesus required was only to believe that he took their sins to the cross, and he was God on earth, and he was their Savior. So that was another thing they were doing. And they go on to Lystra, if you're looking at the left side of here. And then it says here, they continue to go on up into here, and you see where they land up at Troas. Now this is where we've already studied in studying 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Paul wanted to turn here at Troas and go back through here to all the Asian churches where he had come. But God said, you can't go up there and you can't go down here. So he and Timothy are stuck at Troas trying to figure out what the Holy Spirit is trying to help them do. And so in the meantime, Paul goes to sleep and he has a vision from God. And then you look here at Troas and you see an arrow going right straight up to Philippi. And so we've studied about this before. That's where the Philippian churches started. And so we're going back on the route preceding when this happened. And Paul has this vision during the night of a man saying, come over here into Macedonia, and we need your help. And so that shows the Holy Spirit has blocked Asia on both sides and going back here, and he wants him to go basically into Europe for the first time, where we get into Philippi. And so, you know, then we studied, see, when they went in from Troas, they had come in onto the foundation here where the ships came in on Thessalonica, and they were going back up to Philippi, and that church was started with Lydia, you remember? And then they went through all of the time there. They had met them down at the river, and Lydia and her household came to faith. She took them home with her, and then we have the incident then following that of when Paul, everywhere he was trying to go and to explain to the people there about Jesus, there was these men that was going around with this woman that was full of Satan, shouting behind them, "These are the Son of God. This is who he is." None of the people that are followers of Jesus want Satan to do the preaching for them. And so sometimes you may have some preachers that may not be coming from God. You always test the word to make sure what you're hearing is correct. Anyway, so that's where that they are called. And so he and Timothy go up in here. And I think it's interesting when we read that story, Timothy's not mentioned about being with Cyrus and Paul when they're out meeting with this girl and casting the spirits out of her, that he was not put in jail. They were put in jail and they were beaten and put in stocks. And so then we know then that the foundation of the church in Philippi was established by a Roman retired soldier that was a jailer that did not lose his life over Paul and them being let out of jail. A very rich woman and a lady that was a slave that was going around shouting that this is the Son of God. And that's the foundation of the church there, and then we'll see him going on right down in through here. They do go through there, and this is a history of what we've just covered. We went to Philippi, and then he wrote a letter to the Philippians. Then when he went to Thessalonica, then we've seen two letters that was written there. And then he goes on down to Berea, and then he finally lands up down at Corinth. And in Corinth, Paul and Timothy and his two, also by now he's got Luke with him. Paul had something physically wrong with him. When he started out, it gave him a great deal of pain or something he had to overcome. He said, "I went to the Lord three times and asked that this thorn in my flesh would be taken away. And God said, my grace is sufficient." So he never got him well, but he gave him Luke. And Luke is a Greek, but Luke will travel with him all the rest of the time. He will stay in jail with him, and he will stay with Paul until he dies. So Luke and Timothy are going to be his constant companions, and you're going to read that later. So they land up in Corinth, and they meet a couple here that they are both tent makers. You know, that's how Paul made his money. He did not charge the churches as he went through here. And so they're both tent makers. So Paul stays with this couple a year and a half in Corinth. They're making tents. They're bringing people to Christ, and their name is what?
Priscilla and Aquila.
You remember them? And so they're going to go. The reason they're here at this time, this is in the time of Nero, and you know the whole town nearly in Rome really burned down. And Nero decided, everybody thinks by history that Nero was one that burned it down because he wanted it rebuilt pretty. Then he blamed it on the Christians. And so then the Christians start fleeing there because some of them he's hanging on poles at night and saturating it in oil and letting them be the lights of the city. And so the Jewish people are fleeing out of Rome, and this is why he runs into Aquila and Priscilla, because they had come out of Rome. They will go with him over into Ephesus. See, we're still down here going around here. It's Ephesus. And you remember, this is right on the Aegean Sea there, just across from Greece. And they will stay. This is going to be their kind of their home base for the rest of the time. Paul is alive until he dies, is Ephesus. And one of the strongest churches in history, you go back and read in there, most likely this is where, you remember when Jesus was on the cross, he looked at John and he said, "This is your mother." He gave her to him. This is probably where basically these first strong people all landed up, was at Ephesus. They think that John and raised with Jesus' mother was there, And Peter was there at one time because basically it's the base before you go and start into Rome anyway. So you'll see that Timothy's continuing to be with him. And so then, so this is where you go back on the right side here, and it says Silas and Timothy, that's where they lived. Athens is an altar. Then, you know, when Paul was in Athens, that they were all offering sacrifices up to the unknown God, and said, you've got one here that says the unknown God. I want to tell you about him. And that's where he started teaching. And so we hear that before he leaves and continues on, Paul gets his hair cut because he's taking a vow. And that's in Acts 18 and 18. This, when they did, every hair on their body is shaved off. And they take a vow. They will not even eat a grape. They will not ever drink any wine. And they are going to be just completely giving their whole body and their whole faith to Jesus one more time. And so then he goes in, and we're there. So, turn your paper over. And I'm not concerned about not talking to you about this. Go back and read every one of these references. If you got a pen, write it down. That way you'll remember it. You can remember something that you don't write down. If anybody tells me anything, it'll go in this area, and if I don't put my finger here, it'll go out that there. And so, I take notes all the time because of what in the world did I say? So, when you get to be 92, you can do anything you want to. So, there you are. So, what did Paul call Timothy in Romans 16 and 20? I'm just going to read through what I've got here. Go home and read it for yourself. He says, Paul, my fellow worker. From here on, every time Paul writes to any of these churches, he tells, I'm Paul, I'm an apostle sent by Jesus, and whoever's with him. And you'll be seeing that his Timothy is always with him, always with him. And he calls Timothy my son, whom I love, who is faithful to the Lord, and he holds up the whatever I have taught you, and he agrees with that. And so he said, when he comes, you take care of him. He is not an imposter. You listen to him because I've got him. He is very much led by the Holy Spirit and he's on track. In 1 Corinthians it said, if Timothy comes, see that he has nothing to fear. In other words, when he was sending Timothy in when he couldn't go, he was kind of sending him in alien territory, but he went with the credentials. I am sending him and you take care of him when he gets here. Because he said, he agrees with my teaching, and he is with you. Said you don't. You make sure he's okay, for he carries on the work that I have started, and he is going to bring you the peace of the Lord and salvation. So he always sends Timothy out, but he either leaves him and tucks the church. You follow him. This is how much he said. Timothy is the only one that I have that I can completely trust because he knows the Lord and he is right on time on speaking. Then we read it in 1 Thessalonians, Paul and Timothy, and he calls them servants of Jesus. They were all Jesus' servants. And then Silas, and he said, commending the believers on faith, he said, this is what he's going to do. They're going to lead you stronger in faith, and they're going to work among you, they're going to encourage you, and they're coming to you. Let's go to 1 Timothy. Now, I think is the best definition that we have is 1 and 2 Timothy, even though it's in the letter that he writes to the church. This, I think, kind of sums everything up. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus our hope, to Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ our Lord. He's talking to Timothy, as I urged you when I went to Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrines. You know, when they got into Ephesus, well, Apollo had showed up about that time and he was teaching and he didn't even know about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And that's why also he had sent in Aquila and Priscilla and they take him aside and teach him the way more perfectly. But, and always, if you watch, the first name of anything is the one that's doing the work. It's always Aquila and Priscilla till we get here, and then it's Priscilla and Aquila. But they take him into their home, and they, even though this is a very charismatic preacher, he's saying a lot of good stuff. He just don't have enough of it. He has not got the full gospel yet. So Priscilla evidently takes him into the home. She feeds him. She takes care of him. She teaches him the way more perfectly. Note the amount of strength that these women are doing. This is one of the main reasons I want you to know this, is because you grandmothers, you say, well, I'm just a grandmother. You are making a difference in your children and in your grandchildren and your however long you're going to live. I've landed up with a whole herd. I've even got 10 great-grandchildren. And I have 6 great-granddaughters. And every week, I email them as a group. And that way they know what each of the others are doing, because some of them's 22 and the other one's 13. That they know what each of them's doing. And I send them a scripture and tell them I'm praying over them. You have a responsibility, as long as you've got breath in your body, is to continue to encourage your children, your grandchildren, your neighbors, anybody else. This is to Timothy, my son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. As I urged you when I went to Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrine any longer, nor to devote themselves to myths and empty genealogies. This church was breaking all to pieces because one of them said, well, I'm of Paul, and I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Cephas. Cephas was Peter. And they couldn't agree on each other, and so the church was getting divided, and he left Timothy there to kind of straighten this bunch of folks out. He has a lot of confidence in him. It said, these promote controversies rather than God's word, which is by faith, and the goal of the command is love, which comes from a pure heart, and a good conscience, and sincere faith. These are the only thing that he's wanting them to know. This, if you've got love, and a good conscience, and sincere faith, and some have wandered away from the faith and turned to meaningless talk, and there would be teachers of the law, and they can do know that they are talking about what they do confidentially and affirm. We know that the law, good, if one uses it properly, we also know that the law is made not for the righteous, but for the lawbreakers and the rebels and the ungodly and the sinful, the unholy and irreligious, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers, for adulterers, and for perverts, and for slave traders and liars and perjurers and whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine. That confirms the glorious gospel of the blessing of Jesus, which is entrusted to you. Then he goes on, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he has considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of the Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with faith and love that is in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying, that you serve with full acceptance. Christ Jesus was in the world to save sinners, of whom I was the worst. But for the very reason I was shown mercy, so in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever. Now then, this is the summation. Timothy, my son, he's talking to him. I give this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made known to you, so that by following them you may fight a good faith, holding on to the faith of a good conscience. Some have rejected them and have shipwrecked them. Among them was Hymenaeus and Alexander, and some have landed over to Satan, and then to be taught and blaspheme. I urge you then, first of all, that you request prayer, you intercessions, thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all in authority, that you may live peaceably and quiet in all godliness and holiness. This is good, and it pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved. Now then go to 2 Timothy, and we will start with 1 and 3. Thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience. At night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears. I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy, and I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you. And for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is through you the laying on of hands. For God did not give us the spirit of timidity, but of grace, of power, and the love of a self-discipline. So, don't lose this paper. Go home and read all of it. But this is why we are going to study 1 Timothy next, and 2 Timothy next. Because you're going to learn a lot of things that Paul, in his last thoughts, are given to not only Timothy, but to the church. And we are the church now. We are the Timothys. I've got 4 Timothys now that are teaching you through the weeks. So, it's marvelous. You cannot be a Paul if you're not a Timothy, if you don't have Timothys. If you're a Paul, you've got to start teaching the next generation. If you're a godly mother or grandmother, you have got to live and teach the next generation. And so I think that's the last sermon you'll hear from me this year. Because we have, I think, 2 more lessons. And then the first Wednesday, we'll have breakfast in December. And that'll be our last time we'll meet. We'll have a break through December until after the 1st of January. And on that day when we meet, come in your Levi's and tennis shoes. Because after we eat, we've got to pack 200 boxes that's going overseas to the children. Also, we have boxes still sitting out there. This is stuff that we have made in our quilting. But we have boxes out here that you can take home, and maybe you can fill one up with your grandchildren, with your children, with your family, and have it and bring it ready to go when we come for breakfast that time and add to our collection. So, I just went 3 minutes over. I always do that. Thank you, dear God. We thank you for Liz. We thank you for the people here in the United States that has the heart to go and stand beside the ones that are in such need. We thank you, Father God, for 5 years. There's children in her community here. There's 400 of them. Would not have food every day, not much less an education, if she had not and her husband had not moved there on purpose to start this. And we thank you for everybody that you've called and everybody that receives the call to go and help wherever the need is. I thank you, Father, for these women in this class. This is the best group of women I know and think about, and thank you for letting me be a part of them. And thank you that you bless them in their particular homes. Give them strength. Give them guidance. May they continue to pray for their children and for their grandchildren and for their neighbors and anyone else. We pray, Father, for the millions of people that have never heard about Jesus, that you will open, continuously open more and more areas where your word can be taught and they can know how much Jesus loves them. We just praise you, Father, for being so good to us and so faithful to us and providing for us constantly. And I ask you to watch over us as we leave, keep us safe on the road, bring all of our people that are in Jordan back home safely, and may they be refreshed when they get here, and know that that everybody is been working with and each other to bring Jesus to everyone. And we praise you for the mercy that you had to let us do that, and that you let us teach others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.